last weekend, if you're at all into social media or sports, all kinds of reporting. Things were going crazy. Toronto Blue Jays were about to sign the guy that many people have called the greatest baseball player in a long time. Maybe ever. Some people have said that. I don't know. Remains to be seen. Still pretty young. Shohei Ohtani is, there's no doubt, he's certainly in the conversation. He is a tremendous talent, a great offensive player, fantastic hitter, and a great pitcher when he's healthy. And these kinds of players do not come along. Guys who can hit and pitch at the same time, very few and far between. I mean, the comparison you hear most often with Ohtani is Babe Ruth. Okay, and you've probably heard of the Babe, right? There's movies have been made about this guy. So that's the comparable that we often hear about this. So understandably, baseball fans in Canada were all on Twitter at the news that Ohtani was about to come north and sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. Then they were crushed to find out that no, he hadn't signed with the Blue Jays. In fact, he'd signed with the LA Dodgers for a ridiculous amount of money. Obscene. Really, it's $1 billion Canadian, $700 million over 10 years. Ludicrous money. So did the Jays maybe dodge a bullet by missing out here? And if not, what lessons can they learn next time they're going after the giant fish in the free agent pond? Some things they could do. Let's have a conversation with Ryan Clutterbuck now, who's an assistant professor in sport management at Brock University. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate you being here today.
Shay, thanks for having me on.
No doubt. I mean, when we're talking about Ohtani, and we have to put this into context, he's a player unlike, well, any other in baseball, especially, you know, currently you look around, he is in a class all of his own, right?
Yeah, and we're seeing that with the latest contract, right? There really is no comparable, and so it's just a recognition of how special he is.
And it's not just the situation with what he can do on the field, right? You take a look at this guy, and you know, certain people transcend the sport. He's one of those guys. The global reach, you know, being from Japan with that massive following, like he brings something special when it comes to marketing potential off the field, too.
Yes, not only for himself, but for the club as well. And so that's another reason why it's hard to draw comparisons, because your average really great shortstop that signs with the Jays or any other club for that matter is not bringing those sponsors or those eyeballs to the club. And so if you look at other contracts, it really is more to do with the on-field performance. But with Ohtani, it's really a combination of things.
Yeah, no question about it. So disappointment for sure, right? If you're in Toronto, if you're a member of the Toronto Blue Jays organization, disappointed. But are there some lessons to be learned here? First and foremost, let's talk about it. He's only playing for one team. So you're not the loser here, right? I mean, the Dodgers are the winner, but there's like 29, 30 other teams that are in the exact same boat as the Jays.
Well, that's right. And it's really a perception thing, too. I mean, had we never heard that the Jays were as, you know, reportedly as close as they were, we wouldn't have had the same feelings, right? The Dodgers were sort of always the front runner. And so if the Jays had never entered into the conversation, had we not had the flight watches and everything that went along with that, we might not be, you know, so heartbroken this week. It would have just been another free agent signing and in another place, right? But this had a different sort of quality to it.
Yeah, hopes got up and then hopes got dashed. Explain to me the concept of, what did you call it? BATNA? What do you call it? The best alternative to a negotiated agreement. What are we talking about here?
Wonderful. And so just trying to make sense of how it all came to be. There's a series of negotiation principles that I leaned on to try to make the case that, you know, we maybe shouldn't have been as surprised as we all were. And one of those is, as you said, the BATNA, or the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. And essentially what that means is anytime you're negotiating, we all have a set of interests that we're trying to achieve, right? Or priorities. We want more money. We want time off, whatever it is. And we don't often put ourselves in the shoes of our negotiating counterpart. And so from the Jays' perspective, you know, maybe there was the assumption or the anticipation that we've got all of this money, right? And there were reports about the NHL rights coming up in a couple of years. And so there was a real emphasis on we've got the most money to deal with. And the Shohei contract, whatever it was going to be, if it was $50, $60, $70, $100 million, it was going to be a bargain relative to that number coming off the books for Rodgers, right? And I think that led to a lot of excitement on the part of the fans. But we didn't we, the Toronto Blue Jays and Blue Jays fans, didn't necessarily anticipate how good Ohtani's other options were. And so that may have led to some of the disappointment, was we were so caught up in our own narrative that it just made so much sense. Of course he was going to come, right? Who could compete with that? But we didn't necessarily think about the alternatives from his perspective to coming north of the border.
And you know what? I mean, we're talking about dollar figures, Ryan, that none of us will ever have a comprehend. He doesn't comprehend what $700 million means. I mean, if you get to a point where the Jays, I mean, or the Dodgers are putting up $500 million, and they're not. I mean, let's say the Jays had outpaced them by $100 million over 10 years. At some point, it's like, you know what? It's enough money. I'm going to look at other things. It's not just money, right? I mean, at some point, you've got more money than you could ever spend in 10 lifetimes. So other factors come into play, and maybe the Dodgers tip the scales there. I mean, Southern California, they're a perennial contender. All those things matter too.
They matter too, and I think it's becoming clear that they matter so much more than the money that was agreed to. Just based on the fact that so much of that compensation is going to be deferred until after the 10 years is up, suggests to me that it was always about competition, sustained excellence. This is a player who identified, you know, they want to win multiple championships over the next 10 years. And as a Toronto Blue Jays fan myself, I wish those interests had led him to the Blue Jays. But obviously he and his representation had other ideas.
What about the Jays and where they go from here? I mean, does it, and I'm wondering, because a guy from Edmonton for a long, long time, we had, I'll be honest with you, an inferiority complex. We just did, Ryan. There was a, you know, free agents would turn their nose up. I don't think the Jays are in that position, but does it, is there a blow to the ego that, oh, he chose LA? I mean, there's part of that too, right?
Maybe, but I would say maybe this doesn't help with that particular piece. You know, my assessment is I don't think the Jays were ever actually that close, just based on the fact that he couldn't satisfy his underlying interests, right? Some of that could have been location. Some of that could have been tied to the
media market. I mean, all kinds of things, right?
Yes. I'm thinking about the location of timing and what that means for the broadcasting that he's, you know, likely to see those, you know, revenue from those figures in the Japanese market, right? There are so many things that led to him going where he wanted to go. I would say first and foremost, the competitive piece. But also, yeah, there were so many things to the point where it's not clear to me that if the Jays had offered $1 billion over 10 years, that would have swayed him. Because what I see from the contract that he ultimately did sign, despite the fact that it's an astronomical number, it's really not about the money on the field, right? I see a player that's interested in maximizing his value in so many other ways in terms of sponsorship and off-the-field opportunities. It's unclear to me if those would have been there for him with the Blue Jays.
What does that mean for the Jays going forward, though? They've got, I mean, they do have some players. They've got some great players on that team. And are they in a position now where, you know, the contract negotiation position changes? You can't really plead poverty or say, yeah, we can't spend that kind of money if you're throwing this kind of money at Ohtani. I mean, what does it mean for them going forward in the future?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, even if you want to take a different sort of perspective, you might say that, well, surely, yeah, the Jays wanted Ohtani and they made a good faith effort. But also, part of this negotiation is a communication to the players on the team who are coming up with their own major free agencies in the near future. And you think about, this is arguably, this could be management's attempt to speak to those players and say, hey, we're the real deal. Like, we're not going to, if you're looking elsewhere for money, we've got money, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's that potential as well. Trying to communicate that you don't have to look elsewhere and you don't have to wait until the trade deadline when your contracts are due for renewal, right?
Yeah, it does. It totally changes the dynamic going forward. And I would assume all around the league, like we said, Ohtani's in a special class, but that's going to change the way that a lot of players approach things if that kind of money's being thrown around. I mean, it's $300 million more than the next largest contract. It's changed the game, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Blue Jays have made their case that they are going to be right there in future free agent competitions, right there with the Dodgers and with the Giants and with the Yankees and all the rest, right? They're trying to make that case.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting stuff. Ryan, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.